Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. September 2020, Boise, Idaho. An unresponsive 9-year-old boy is rushed to hospital, only to be pronounced dead soon after arrival. His death quickly determined to be non-accidental. Emmerich was severely emaciated, dehydrated, and covered in bruises. But it would be when police uncovered hours of nanny camera footage from the family's home. Would his killers be brought to justice? This is Emmerich's story.
Now, Monique is charged with first-degree murder. Eric is charged with felony injury to a child, infliction of great bodily injury, and destruction of evidence. And on the night Emmerich died, prosecutor Tamara Kelly says law enforcement found the 9-year-old without a pulse. They say he appeared malnourished, pale, and covered in bruises and vomit.
Enrico Osuna was born on October 16, 2010, to parents Cecile Lucerio and Eric Osuna in San Jose, California. Cecile and Eric's relationship ended, with Eric moving to Idaho and starting a new family. Cecile, too, went on to have more children, a boy born in 2014 and then twins in 2015. For most of Emmerich's life, until he was almost 8 years old, Emmerich lived with his mother Cecile in California, but then Cecile would be arrested for child abuse. Cecile had asked a friend to take one of her 15-month-old twins, a girl and Emmerich's baby sister, into the hospital. This baby was unresponsive and barely clinging onto life. Here, medical staff contacted the Santa Ana Police Department. This toddler was beaten to the point she had partial paralysis and a brain bleed. Cecile's other children were taken to the hospital for a welfare check to make sure they were okay. But the other twin, a little boy, he also had injuries, including skull and rib fractures. Emmerich, though, was unharmed. However, this would later be debated whether this was true. At the very least, there would have been emotional and psychological trauma there from witnessing his siblings being physically abused. Cecile would later plead guilty for child abuse and torture. Cecile, who was 7 months pregnant with her fifth child at the time, she would confess to slamming her infant daughter's head into a metal bed frame. Cecile also admitted to kicking and dropping the toddler, that she was angry because her boyfriend, the twins' father, went to a Christmas party, leaving her with the children alone. There was some jealousy there because she felt that everyone, including the children, they were getting more attention from her boyfriend than he was giving her. It wouldn't be until 2022 that Cecile would be sentenced to 4 years behind bars. But because of her arrest and due to the nature of the charges, all of Cecile's children would be placed into foster care. Up to this point, Eric hadn't been really a part of his son's life. So Emmerich was placed in the custody of his paternal aunt, Maria Osuna, and her husband. And this placement, while only temporarily, seemed to be going well. Emmerich had a stable life for the first time. He was happy and healthy, and things seemed to have taken a turn for the positive. Marie would later remember a little boy who easily blended in with their family, like he was one of their own, Emmerich even calling Marie Mum. But then about 6 months later, in February 2018, Emmerich would be placed permanently in the custody of his father, Eric Osuna, and his wife Monique. And this would be a big change, moving to Meridian, Ohio, away from his extended family and honestly, the only family he ever knew, and with two people who were essentially strangers. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. School is incredibly important, and I am a strong advocate of all children getting a great education. However, as we know, children have all different interests and learn in different ways. And school doesn't always teach towards those interests. And given class sizes, can't always teach towards every learning style. Wouldn't it be great if there was an online platform that caters to these points? Well, there is with OutSchool. OutSchool is an online learning platform that empowers kids to learn on their own terms, with the widest range of teachers, topics and classes to suit any interest. They offer interactive small classes that are social and fun, video classes that can be taken at any time, one-on-one tutoring and clubs that connect learners around their favourite topics. My daughter has been homeschooled for around 6 months now, and being the creative kid she is, I can see her tuning out with the more, in her words, boring subjects. But OutSchool allows me to add on some other classes that better suit her interests. She has been taking a vocal training course that has her belting out K-pop Demon Hunter songs like a pro, if you know, you know. And we just got a new puppy, and OutSchool has a puppy training course that has taught our newest family member a bunch of new tricks, so it's involving the whole family. If you want to try OutSchool, you can get your family's first month for only a dollar for a limited time when you use my link, outschool.com/stolen. OutSchool has been a game changer for our family. This new membership exclusive discount is only available when you go through our link and use the code STOLEN. That's outschool.com/stolen and use code STOLEN. 2018. Emmerich was living with his father Eric, his stepmother Monique and step-siblings, aged 4 and 9 years old. The family living in Rushmore Apartments, on the 1000 block of West Broadway Avenue in Meridian, Idaho. Monique would also give birth to another baby in late April 2020. September 1st, 2020, 9:40 p.m. Meridian police responded to a 911 call to the Asuna family home. Here they found a bruised 9-year-old Emmerich covered in his own vomit. He wasn't breathing and didn't have a heartbeat. First responders attempted CPR on the living room floor where Emmerich had been lying. Hauntingly, first responders would write in their report, Emmerich was so emaciated that the little boy's eyes were sunken back into his head. This was nothing like they'd ever seen before, and they assumed that Emmerich had been suffering from some long-term serious illness. But when asked, Monique simply said the only diagnosis her stepson had ever received was ADHD. Monique was also being frantic, almost erratic with her actions, while first responders attempted to save Emmerich's life. In contrast, Eric was calm and in control. Stoic is the word I've seen him described as. Not how you would expect a parent to be reacting to their young son lying dying on the living room floor. Not that we can judge someone's innocence or guilt from their reactions in stressful situations, even though I am completely judging this one here. Once in the ambulance on the way to the hospital, paramedics removed Emmerich's clothing to attach life-saving devices to him, and immediately they noticed Emmerich was wearing a diaper. Not only that, but there were more dark bruises covering his body, including his arms, upper thighs, buttocks, and genitals. Once at the hospital, it would be discovered Emmerich had serious trauma to his genitals, similar injuries to what you would expect if a rubber band was tied tightly around the 9-year-old's genitalia. Paramedics were able to restart Emmerich's heart en route to St. Luke's Hospital in nearby Boise, Idaho. But unfortunately, the injuries were just too severe, and Emmerich Osuna would pass away just 4 hours later, at 1:30 a.m. September 2nd, 2020. At the time of his death, Emmerich weighed only 41 pounds or 18.5 kilograms. He was extremely dehydrated. Dr. Matthew Cox later testifying, quote, he was wasted, skin and bones in appearance, unquote. Because of his condition, it was quickly determined Emmerich's death was not an accident. Due to the suspicious nature of Emmerich's death, the three other children, aged between 4 months and 9 years old, they were removed from the home by the Department of Health and Welfare. These children were given thorough medical checks, but they seemed healthy and well taken care of, Monique and Eric being ordered not to have any contact with their surviving children. As we always see in these situations, the parent or guardians in the home were questioned. Emmerich's stepmother Monique told investigators Emmerich had been hurt playing rough with some of the neighbourhood children, that these boys had beaten the 9-year-old with a dog leash. But eventually, after hours of interrogation, Monique would confess that she was responsible for some of the injuries to her stepson, that this had been going on since the beginning of the year, but had escalated since the birth of her youngest child, 4 months earlier. Monique confessed to beating Emmerich with a wet belt, a back scratcher, a wooden spoon and a frying pan. However, her weapon of choice was a dog leash because, quote, It was heavier than a belt, unquote. Monique even admitted to sometimes kicking the little boy between his legs. And these beatings, the abuse, they happened at least every couple of days for, as I said, the last 4 months. Monique tried to justify what she was doing by saying she believed these punishments were important life lessons. Emery could also be forced to do strenuous physical exercise for hours on end. And because of COVID, Monique had been working from home the entire time, and she would force Emmerich to do jumping jacks and wall sits while she worked nearby. Emmerich only being allowed breaks when she would, and if he stopped any time without permission, he would be screamed at and beaten. Neighbours later telling police they could hear regular shouting coming from the house. It was then Emmerich's father Eric's turn to speak to the authorities, and he too would admit that Monique had been abusing his son. That on the morning before Emmerich died, September 1st, 2020, he had witnessed Monique striking him with a dog leash. After this, Emmerich was allowed some rice and water, which is what they usually fed him. But Emmerich wasn't able to keep it down and he immediately threw it all back up. Monique screamed at the 9-year-old to have a shower, but she wasn't going to miss an opportunity to torture the boy. She ordered Emmerich to stand on one leg while he showered. After this, Emmerich was allowed to lie down on the ground to rest. Not that I think Emmerich had much option otherwise, because the boy was not in a good way. At 5 p.m, it was clear there was something seriously wrong with Emmerich. Eric sent Monique a text message and said it was time to take his son to hospital, quote, "If you don't want to go, that's fine. I'll go. I know you're scared. I'm scared too," unquote. However, the couple wouldn't end up taking Emmerich to the hospital after all. Instead, Monique would then send a text message to a friend from work by the name of Hannah Bry. She would tell this friend that her stepson was very unwell and that she needed help. So, Hannah would drive out to Rushmore Apartments, arriving at 8:30 p.m. And here she would find Emmerich the same way first responders would, lifeless and unresponsive lying on the living room floor. Hannah would later testify when she reached out to touch Emmerich, the little boy was cold to the touch. Hannah tells Monique to just give him some Pedialyte and that should help. Although I think it would be clear to anyone that the situation was far beyond that point at this stage. The three adults also try to stand Emmerich up to see if that would help him regain consciousness. But obviously, as soon as they picked him up, Emmerich just fell back to the ground. Now, I don't know if Hannah was in shock with her advice, but it seems this made her realise just how dire the situation was, and she began CPR. And this would be when Eric called 911 for assistance. But Emmerich's well-being wasn't Eric's focus during this call for help. Eric put the dispatcher on speaker, so he could gather all the nanny cameras from throughout the house. He then gave these cameras to Hannah and asked her to hide them in her car from the police. So here is this friend being a complete accomplice. Eric and Monique Osuna were arrested and charged with felony injury to a child. Eric was facing additional charges of infliction of great bodily injury and destruction of evidence. After the autopsy was completed and these nanny cameras were recovered, Eric and Monique would also be charged with first-degree murder, facing a possible life sentence if convicted, or even the death penalty, the couple being held on a $2 million bond. Now, it was clear from these videos that this was a case of ongoing systematic child abuse. Emmerich can be seen rapidly losing weight through forced exercise, starvation and physical beatings, being forced to exercise for up to 20 hours a day. In one video, it captured Monique allegedly grabbing Emmerich by the hair, swinging him into the air and then dragging him into the kitchen where she slapped him repeatedly. This same video allegedly showed Monique smacking Emmerich in the head with a spoon while he cried out and tried to shield his head with his hands. Other videos showed Monique kicking the boy across the room, repeatedly hitting him with a frying pan, all while calling him a fucking loser and a piece of shit. Monique even threatened to make Emmerich eat his own excrement. Eric wasn't the passive bystander he led investigators to believe he was. Eric can be allegedly seen in the footage hitting his son with a belt. However, he is mostly seen in these videos just standing in the back on his phone, seemingly unbothered with what his son was going through. On the 2 weeks' worth of footage police were able to recover, Emmerich is never seen playing with toys or games. He was forced to sleep on the floor of the closet. He was denied fast food meals, even as the rest of the family ate while he was forced to keep on exercising. One heartbreaking clip reportedly showed Emmerich being forced to exercise in the early morning hours, when at 3 a.m. he abruptly stopped and he asked God why he was being abused. Emmerich did all he could to continue to survive. He would eat food out of the trash or the dog's food, and if he was caught doing this, he would be beaten for it. On one occasion when Emmerich was caught taking food, he was punished by being forced to drink dirty cleaning water. Another time he took a soft drink that belonged to one of Monique's children. His stepmother responding to this by saying, "Next time I'll put poison in a cup and put your name on it." And despite all of this, 9-year-old Emmerich never for a moment resisted the abuse. Instead, he would respond by saying sorry or yes, mum. February 10, 2021, a competency hearing was held for Eric Osuna. His defence team arguing he was not competent to stand trial. Now, it's not clear why this was, whether it was because Eric wasn't capable of understanding the charges against him, or if he had a mental illness that rendered him incompetent, or what the thought process was for the defence team to argue such a fact. The reason I say this because in Idaho, there is no guilty by reason of insanity, whereas you are sent to a mental health facility until you are deemed legally sane enough for your freedom. In Idaho, though, if you're deemed incompetent to stand trial, you are sent to a mental health facility until you are deemed competent to stand trial and then the charges proceed in court. But it wouldn't matter anyway, because March 31, 2021, Eric Osuna was deemed competent for the murder trial. While awaiting the criminal trials, Eric and Monique Osuna would agree to plea deals, and this took the death penalty off of the table. During the plea hearing, witnesses would testify Eric had a lower-than-average intelligence and executive function deficits. His childhood had been abusive in itself, filled with mistreatment. The defence arguing that Monique Osuna had a rough upbringing as well, that she had witnessed domestic violence between her parents, and herself was subjected to physical and sexual abuse as a child at the hands of both her parents. Now let's circle back to Monique's friend-slash-co-worker, Hannah Bry, who was there when Emmerich was found dying before emergency services were called. She would later testify for the prosecution. She testified that Monique spoke to her over time about Emmerich's bad behaviour. In the months before he died, Hannah suggested to her friend that possibly Emmerich had reactive detachment disorder. And this is a condition that affects children bonding with their caregivers because of regular neglect or abuse. Children suffering from this condition have difficulty accepting comfort and love. They withdraw emotionally, and they can suffer from anger problems. Monique had insisted she had gotten Emmerich all the help he could have possibly needed, and that the doctors refused her, telling her that her stepson was a healthy and stable 9-year-old. It was allegedly at this stage. Hannah would be the one to suggest to the couple to install the nanny cameras to document Emmerich's behaviour to show medical professionals. Hannah would also admit she was responsible for suggesting exercise as a form of punishment. Although she would also testify that Monique and Eric took the idea much further than she ever suggested. Monique could be seen wiping away tears as the videos of the abuse were played for the jury, later apologising and saying Emmerich was a sweet child and he was the perfect fit for their family, but that there was some concerning behaviours a few months after he moved in with them. Which honestly, that's to be expected. A young child Emmerich's age being forced to move into yet another home he wasn't comfortable with. And if it was me, if I was Emmerich's stepmother, I would be doing all I could to make this child feel welcomed, feel loved, and feel part of the family. But that never happened here. Quote, "He didn't deserve any of that. He deserves so much more. And I hope for the rest of my life I'll be sorry for my wrongful actions." Unquote. In handing down Monique's sentence, Ada County District Judge Stephen Hippler said the violence against Emmerich was sadistic, evil, and heartless. Quote, "He wasn't part of the family. He wasn't loved. He was an inconvenience to the family. In the end, Emmerich's body wasted away." Unquote. Emmerich's father, Eric, would also give a statement ahead of his sentencing. He said he failed as a father and as a caregiver, that he accepted whatever punishment he was given because of the torture he allowed to be inflicted upon his son. Monique and Eric Osuna would be sentenced to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. Eric Osuna is currently serving his sentence at the Cerro Garro Correctional Center in Arizona. And Monique Osuna is being held at the Pocatello Women's Correctional Center in Pocatello, Idaho. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. the woman who took Emmerich in after his mother's arrest, Emmerich's aunt Marie Osuna, would give loving tribute to her nephew and speak of her grief over losing him. Quote, "He was just a good kid. He was happy. I don't understand what happened. He just needed love. He just needed love and that's it. And to feel safe." Unquote. She continued on by saying, quote, "I just can't believe it. It just shocks me. I don't know how anyone could do that to a child. We trusted her. We trusted both of them to take care of him. And it wasn't like our family wasn't more than willing to help. They could have reached out to us. They could have said something if they were frustrated with him." Unquote.
Tammy, Irene Zepeda tells me her sister, Emmerich's birth mom, and Eric Osuna lived with her for a few months when Emmerich was younger. And she says when she found out what happened to her nephew from the news, it was shocking, surprising, and heartbreaking.
"I don't know about everybody else in my family, but I feel guilty for not being there for him."
The last time Irene Zepeda saw her nephew, Emmerich Osuna, was on Christmas Day a few years ago.
"Emmerich was always loving. He was one of those kids that always liked to get hugged and kissed, and he liked to watch his cartoons."
Now, more than a week after the 9-year-old's death, she's still in disbelief.
"I can't see anybody doing that to Emmerich. I don't see the reason why. You cannot see his sweet face and melt and dare to put your hands on him. I just don't see it. I have nothing to say to them. Whatever I say to them, it's not going to change the fact that Emmerich's gone. And I know that Eric is going to have he's going to live with that guilt of not protecting his son."
Since Emmerich's family on his mother's side found out what happened, they've been holding vigils.
"You showed us how to love."
9 vigils, 9 nights, for their 9-year-old nephew, cousin, and grandson.
"Emmerich was loved. He was loved. And sometimes you trust that parents are going to do the same. If we love him so much, why wouldn't his parents love him? It's unthinkable to think that somebody that's supposed to love him would do anything like that."
Emmerich would later be described by those who knew and loved him as a happy and fun-loving little guy. He was intelligent and wise beyond his years. He was a curious boy who loved to know how things worked, taking things apart and putting them back together. Emmerich loved Transformers, dinosaurs, and anything to do with ninjas. His favourite food was grilled cheeses. He will be remembered as a boy with a personality that could light up any room he was in, and that he deserved more of a life than the one he got. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice. And subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.